There we are. As Pastor Ben said, my name is Abby Osing. I'm the ministry director here at Jamestown Harbor. It's good to be together as we worship this morning. If I haven't met you, I would love to have a conversation with you after the service today and connect. This is family-friendly worship throughout the summer. So kids, if you haven't gotten up to grab a sermons page, we have them on either table by the worship center doors. And I'd love to see your work at the end of the service this morning. Most of us know what it feels like to desire a fresh start. Maybe that sometimes comes just in the form of how we got out the door in the morning. I don't know if you've experienced this before, where by the time that you get to work or by the time that you get to school or wherever you're headed for the morning, you think to yourself, "Wish I could have a fresh start of how that morning started." There was something about it that just didn't quite come together the way that you had hoped. Sometimes it's small. In looking towards a new week, sometimes we tell ourselves, this week is going to be different. I'll be more patient this week, or I'm going to be more disciplined. I'll finally start practicing this habit that I've been putting off, or I'm going to handle this conflict that I've been having with a person in my life a little bit differently this week. Maybe it's that I'm going to make better choices with how I'm eating or with what I'm doing with exercise in my life. Other times, the need for a fresh start runs much deeper. A relationship that's fractured. A season of grief that leaves us wondering if life will ever be the same. We carry some regrets, maybe, that we wish that we could fix. Or a mistake that we've made that we can't let go of. Sometimes we wonder whether life can really be different. There's something deeply hopeful about the idea of beginning again. We celebrate milestones, new beginnings in our lives all the time, a wedding or a graduation, moving to a new home, experiencing the arrival of a child in our lives, or a start of a new school year, or even just turning the calendar page over to a new year, filled with possibilities that this year might just be a little bit different. But changing our circumstances doesn't equate to the same thing as experiencing change within ourselves. A new year doesn't automatically create new habits. A new job doesn't erase how we've worked, how we've functioned in our jobs previously. Our best intentions often collide with these familiar patterns that we've experienced, and we may begin to wonder whether another fresh start is possible and whether this one will actually be any different. Maybe that's why fresh starts matter so much to us. They aren't just the chance to try again. They hold this possibility that this time, maybe just this time, something could truly change. This morning, we're going to begin in the book of Joshua. And last year, we walked through the book of Exodus together. God rescued Israel from slavery and led them through the wilderness and made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai. But instead of entering the land that had been promised, they wandered for 40 years. And now in Joshua, that generation has passed and Moses has died. And Joshua stands as the new leader on the edge of the Jordan River. Behind him is the wilderness. And before him is this land that God had promised for generations. Everything about this moment feels like a fresh start. A new leader, a new generation, a new land that is only separated by this Jordan River. Everything about this moment feels like a fresh start. And I imagine some of us can feel that moment, that new season that's starting in your life, or a new opportunity, or a new chapter that's about to unfold. We seek and maybe long for these moments where we believe that life can be new or renewed. When the disappointments of the past don't have the final word, when a past mistake doesn't define what comes next. But we also recognize that new beginnings don't automatically lead to new lives. Why do we so often find ourselves returning back to familiar fears or familiar questions or familiar hurts in our lives? Why is beginning again sometimes easier than really embracing a new way forward? Maybe you've asked yourself those questions. You've made a commitment. You've turned the page. You've said to yourself, this time it's going to be different. And yet somehow you find yourself standing in a place that feels remarkably familiar. So here's the question that's going to guide us today. What makes a fresh start truly new? Because if all that changes is circumstances, we may eventually find ourselves back in the same place we've been before. But if God intends something deeper in our lives, then perhaps there really is hope, not simply to begin again, but for a new beginning to become lasting. We're in the second week of a new series that we started called From This to That, where we're reflecting on how our experience of God changes as we pass through water. Last Sunday, Pastor Wally began at the very beginning of our scriptures in the book of Genesis at creation, where we see this watery chaos, and it's over these waters that the Spirit of God hovers, and then God speaks order out of chaos. Today we're going to center our thoughts on a specific piece of water, on the Jordan River. And at first glance, it's simply this river that separates Israel from the Promised Land. But as the story unfolds, we'll see that it's far more than just this geographic boundary that we find in the scriptures. It's a place of promise, a place of remembrance, a place that ultimately points us to Jesus. So why the Jordan River? Why does this river appear again and again throughout the Bible? Let's begin where Israel's story takes a significant turn. Before anyone steps into the river, before the waters part, before Israel reaches the Promised Land, God speaks. And what he says to Joshua becomes foundational for the fresh start that will follow for Israel. So let's begin this morning in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So the book of Joshua does not begin in this place of anticipation or this place of celebration. It actually begins in this place of grief. You see, Moses, the leader that had brought Israel out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness and spoke to God on Mount Sinai, Moses is gone. For an entire generation, Moses had been this visible leader, this visible presence with God leading the Israelites. And now Joshua, the new leader, is standing on the edge of the Jordan River, facing a future without Moses. And it's worth noticing where this conversation between God and Joshua takes place. Joshua is standing so near the Promised Land, but he's standing at the edge of it. He hasn't entered it yet. Behind him are 40 years of wandering, and before him is this fulfillment of a promise that was made to Abraham. And the Jordan is standing between what has been and what could still be. And as you listen to God's words, there are these three themes that become the foundation for what will become Israel's fresh start. First, God reminds Joshua of his promise. In the first six verses that we just read, God says, the land I am about to give you and the land that I swore to your ancestors. You see, Joshua's confidence in this moment is rooted in God's covenant promise. He has been promising this to Israel. The promise didn't begin with Joshua. It didn't even begin with Moses. It reaches all the way back to Abraham. For generations, God has been saying, I will give you this land. And now Joshua is watching as God is about to move this promise toward fulfillment. In addition, there's the theme that God points Joshua to his word. As we continue in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we read, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Israel's greatest danger as they're about to enter into the promised land isn't only the enemies that they are going to encounter in this new land. It's forgetting who God is and who they are. And so before Joshua leads God's people into the promised land, God tells Joshua to let God's word lead them. And here's the final theme that we see in these first verses in the first chapter of Joshua 1. God reminds Joshua of his presence. Here's what we read in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Everything that God is asking of Joshua rests not on Joshua, but on his presence being with him. God's promise, God's word, and God's presence. That's why Joshua can be strong and courageous. When we think about fresh starts, we often focus on what has changed around us. A new season, a new opportunity, a new chapter that's about to unfold. And for Israel, all those things were true. There was a new leader and a new generation and a new land that was waiting just across the Jordan River. But God draws Joshua's attention somewhere else, to his promise, to his word, to his presence. And only then does he say, be strong and courageous. Joshua's confidence isn't rooted in himself or in the Israelites or even that they're finally standing at the edge of the promised land. It's rooted in the unchanging character of God, of who God is. Joshua can move forward because the God who called Abraham, who delivered Israel from Egypt, who remained faithful through the 40 years in the wilderness, is still leading his people in this very moment. This fresh start begins there, not with our faithfulness, not with the faithfulness of the Israelites, but with God's faithfulness. I wonder if some of us can identify that we are standing at the edge of our own Jordan River today. And behind us are maybe disappointments or hurts or concerns that we can't change. And before us is a future that feels uncertain. Before God ever asks Joshua to move, he reminds him of his promise. He anchors him in his word and he assures him of his presence. The hope of a fresh start doesn't rest on our confidence. It rests on the God whose promises remain true, whose word guides us, and whose presence never leaves us. Joshua trusts God, and Israel crosses the Jordan River. The river parts, and God does exactly what he promised. And for this moment, this brief moment, it seems as though the story has reached its point of destination. But it doesn't take long for the Israelites to forget who God is, the God that rescued them. And Israel returns to its old patterns. They trust the nations around them more than the God who brought them into the land. Kings rise and fall. The kingdom divides. There are prophets sent to call God's people back. And centuries later, God brings one of those prophets back to the Jordan River. Let's read together from 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 6. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "So be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." And then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Elijah knows that his ministry is coming to an end. And notice the journey that he takes with Elisha. They travel from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and then finally to the Jordan. And this journey, it's not accidental. They're retracing Israel's story in reverse. These are the very places that Israel had passed through after crossing from the promised land with Joshua. And it's as though God is walking them backwards through their own history. And when we arrive at the Jordan, Elijah strikes the river with his cloak. And once again, the waters part. And then Elijah crosses and is taken into heaven. Elisha picks up Elijah's cloak and walks back to the river. And let's pick up the story in verses 13 and 14. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. We've seen this before. The Jordan parts, God's servant crosses, and a new chapter begins. Why return to the Jordan River? God is doing far more than passing along the leadership from Elijah to Elisha. He's inviting Israel to remember the story they've forgotten. He's bringing the people back to the place where it began, not because God has forgotten his covenant, but because his people had. There's this Hebrew word that helps us understand what's happening here in the scriptures. It's the word zakar, and it means to remember. And what's fascinating about this word is that it appears in the story back in Joshua 1. Just before Israel crosses the Jordan for the first time, in Joshua 1 verse 13, Joshua tells the people, "Remember, Zakar, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you." From the very beginning, as the Israelites are entering the land, what it meant to enter the land was to remember. And the way that scripture describes remembering means more than recalling information or holding on to facts. To remember is to bring God's faithfulness from the past into the present so that it shapes how we live today. Let me say that again. To remember is to bring God's faithfulness from the past into the present so that it shapes how we live today. That's exactly what's happening here. God is bringing Israel back to the Jordan to remember his covenant with them, to remember his faithfulness, to remember his promises, and then to live differently because of them. The river becomes this place of remembrance, a place where God's people are invited to begin again. God doesn't abandon the Israelites in their failures. He returns to them over and over again, and then he brings them back to the Jordan River. The Jordan River was Israel's entrance into the promised land, and centuries later, right here, it becomes this place where God invites them to trust him again. I think that this changes the way that we think about remembering. Often I think when we think of remembering, we usually think of it more in reverse, in looking backwards. We remember the people that we've loved or the places we've been, the experiences that we've had, the seasons we wish we could revisit in our lives. And memory becomes this way of holding on to the past. But scripture speaks about remembering differently, to allow what God has done to shape how we face what is still ahead. That's why God brings Israel back to the Jordan. Returning to the river is this invitation to trust him again, because God who met him there is still faithful, still present with them. I wonder if some of us need that invitation today. Maybe you've found yourself coming back to a place that feels familiar, that you never thought that you would get back to this place again. A familiar hurt, a familiar disappointment, a familiar struggle, a familiar fear, a familiar question. It can begin to feel as though your story becomes a little bit on repeat. Through this scripture, we see how the Israelites return to the Jordan because God is doing something new. God brings them back to remember who he is, to trust him again, to walk with him again, because God's faithfulness didn't depend on the Israelites. God's faithfulness doesn't depend on ours. And yet Israel's story leaves us longing for more. The Israelites remember and then they forget. God restores and then they drift again. Remembering keeps leading God's people forward, but Israel continues longing for something more. And by the end of the Old Testament, Israel is waiting, not simply for another beginning, but for God to do something new. And after centuries of silence, that's exactly what happens. Let's read together from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Mark begins with John the Baptist standing in the wilderness and beside the Jordan River preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The word repentance, the word repent here, is to turn around, to change direction, to reorient your life to God. And once again, people are coming to the Jordan River longing for a fresh start. And then in verse 9, we read, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The other gospel writers tell us that John protests, saying that I need to be baptized by you, that John feels that he needs to be baptized by Jesus. So why does Jesus step into the Jordan River? Not because he needs repentance. Jesus enters the Jordan because he chooses to identify himself with the people that he came to save. From the very beginning of his public ministry, he steps into Israel's story, into their hopes, into their failures, into the very places where generations had longed for another beginning. Joshua could lead God's people into the promised land, but their hearts would drift. Elijah would call people back, but they would wander again. John the Baptist would invite people to repentance, but even he said, after me comes one more powerful than I. Every new beginning at the Jordan River was pointing beyond itself until Jesus steps into these waters. He is the beginning that every other beginning has anticipated. And notice what happens as Jesus comes up out of the water. The heavens are torn open. The Spirit descends on him like a dove. And the Father declares, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." throughout the Old Testament, the Jordan River has been this place where people had longed for a new way forward. At the Jordan, God doesn't simply begin the story again. He fulfills it in Jesus. The deepest hope of the gospel is that in Jesus, God remains faithful and brings redemption, fulfilling his covenant and accomplishing what we never could. Every fresh start throughout these scriptures, every crossing at the Jordan, every return, every act of remembrance has been leading to him. For centuries, the Jordan River has carried Israel's story, Joshua crossing into the land, Elijah returning to renew hope, generation after generation longing for another beginning. And now it becomes this place where Jesus' public ministry begins, where he's identified as God's beloved son, and where he begins his redemptive mission of the kingdom. In his book, The Way of the Lord, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright reflects on this moment, and here's what he writes. Christian baptism, which still in New Testament times looked back to John and the Jordan, quickly came to focus more specifically on Jesus himself and on his death and resurrection. The act of plunging someone under the water and bringing them up again the other side spoke powerfully of dying to the old life and coming through into a new one. This was the defining moment, that which gave people a new identity. The wilderness and the river, the cross and the empty tomb form the sign of the healing love of the Creator and Covenant God. That is the story Mark wants us to see. For centuries, the Jordan River has been this place where God's people have been experiencing beginning after beginning. Again and again, God's people stood at this river longing for another beginning. And then Jesus stepped into those same waters, the place where Israel had repeatedly came to begin again, and becomes the place where God begins something entirely new. In Jesus, lost hope gives way to lasting hope. The Jordan River is no longer simply this place that looks back on Israel's history. It points forward to Jesus and to every person that he will make new. And that is the invitation for us this morning. Every journey to the Jordan has been leading here to Jesus, to the beloved Son, to the one who fulfilled God's promises, to the one who remained faithful and obedient. Maybe you found yourself trying to create a fresh start on your own. Another promise, another resolution, another attempt to find a new way forward. Friends, the gospel invites us to experience something far deeper. Our hope is no longer found in our ability to begin again. Our hope is found in the one who has already begun something new. The invitation of Jesus isn't simply to try again. It's come to me. Because in him, lost hope becomes lasting hope. In him, our failures are no longer the truest thing about us. In him, a fresh start becomes more than another attempt. It becomes a new life. Throughout the scriptures, God's people keep returning to the Jordan River. Joshua stands there with God's promises before him. Elijah returns there to remind Israel that God has not forgotten his covenant. John the Baptist calls people there for repentance. And Jesus steps into those same waters in the Jordan River. And each time God's people pass through the waters, they're invited to discover something more about who God is. They discover his faithfulness, his mercy, his patience, his desire to make all things new. The story was never ultimately about the river. It was always about the God that we encounter there, the God who refuses to give up on his people, who meets people in their disappointments and failures, and who keeps making a way for us to begin again. Maybe you found yourself standing in a place that feels remarkably familiar, a struggle that you thought you'd overcome, a disappointment that you've carried for some time, a hurt that lingers, a hard question that continues to play out in your mind. I wonder if the invitation this week isn't simply, do I need a fresh start? I wonder if the question underneath it is this: how have I quietly started to lose some hope? Where have I begun believing that change might not be possible? Where do I need to lean into trust? Trust that Jesus is with me, and to trust him again, or maybe to trust him for the first time. Those aren't questions that we answer quickly. They're questions that take time, that we carry with us. And if that's where you are at this morning, I want to invite you to remember the story at the Jordan River. Again and again, God brings his people back there. With God, hope is never exhausted. There is always an invitation for another fresh start. For some of you, that invitation may take a very tangible step. Throughout the series, we're tracing the story of water within the scriptures and all of these moments that lead toward Jesus and towards baptism. Baptism serves as this public declaration that we belong to Jesus. It's the sign and seal of our trust in his death and resurrection. It's this moment where we publicly identify with the one who has made us new. And in a few weeks, our church will come together to celebrate at those who are marking a moment in their journey of following Christ with baptism at One Baptism. I would invite you to join us for it. And if you find yourself in a space of considering this as your next step, please have a conversation with us. I would love to talk with you, Pastor Ben, Melissa, anyone on our ministry team would love to have a conversation with you. As you discern, as you consider, as you pray about what it might mean to mark this moment in your faith. And whether your next step is baptism or growing in trust in God or trusting him for the first time, however this looks this week to consider a next step, remember that your fresh start doesn't begin with your ability to begin. It begins with the faithfulness of God who has never stopped pursuing you. The Jordan River appears again and again throughout the scriptures, and each time God's people arrive there, they carry the weight of something that has come before, and each time God meets them with the possibility of what could still be. Then Jesus stepped into the waters, the place that had witnessed generations of unfinished beginnings, and became the place where God declares, "You are my beloved son." And from that moment, the story changes. Our hope is found in the one who entered into the story. And the Jordan reminds us that every fresh start has always been pointing to Jesus. Whether you find yourself this morning full of hope or carrying disappointment or returning to a place that you thought you'd never be again, the invitation remains the same. Come to Jesus. Trust him again. With him, hope is never exhausted. There is always room for another start. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come to you recognizing your great and steadfast love for us, your grace upon grace, and your faithfulness. As we reflect on the places in our lives where hope has felt diminished, where hope feels almost impossible, where we wonder if a fresh start could ever happen, or if it would even make a difference, Lord, we pray that you would lead us by your Spirit, that you would continue to pursue our hearts, that we would grow in faith, that you would renew our hope, and that we would continue to pursue a life of trusting you, maybe for the first time, or maybe once again. Lord, we are grateful for your love for us. We love you, we bless you, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.